ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति।
Krishna verses 46 to 50, chapter 11.
Kiritinam gatinam chakrahastam Kiritinam gatinam chakrahastam Icchamitvam drashtumaham tataiva Icchamitvam drashtumaham tataiva Tenaiva rupena chaturbhujena तेनैव रूपेण चतुर्भुजेन सहस्रबाहो भव विश्वमूर्ते सहस्रबाहो भव विश्वमूर्ते किरीटिनं गतिनं चक्रहस्तं इच्छामि त्वां द्रष्टुमहं तथैव तेनैव रूपेण चतुर्भुजेन सहस्रबाहो भव विश्वमूर्त। श्री भगवान उवाच श्री भगवान उवाच मया प्रसन्नेन तवाजुनेदं मया प्रसन्नेन तवाजुनेदं रूपं परं दर्शितमात्मयोगात् रूपं परं दर्शितमात्मयोगात् तेजोमयं विश्वमनन्तमाध्यं तेजोमयं विश्वमनन्तमाध्यं यन्मे त्वदन्येन न दृष्टपूर्वं यन्मे त्वदन्येन न दृष्टपूर्वं। श्रीभगवान् उवाच मया प्रसन्नेन तवाजुनेदं रूपं परं दर्शितमात्मयोगात् तेजोमयं विश्वमनन्तमाध्यं यन्मे त्वदन्येन न दृष्टपूर्वम्। न वेदयज्ञाव्ययनैर्न दानैः न वेदयज्ञाव्ययनैर्न दानैः न दानैर्न न च क्रियाभिर्न च न तपोभिरुग्रैः न च क्रियाभिर्न तपोभिरुग्रैः एवं रूपशक्य अहं द्विलोके एवं रूपशक्य अहं द्विलोके द्रष्टुं त्वदन्येन कुरु प्रवीर द्रष्टुं त्वदन्येन कुरु प्रवीर। न वेदयज्ञाव्ययनैर्न दानैः न च क्रियाभिर्न तपोभिरुग्रैः एवं रूपशक्य अहं द्विलोके द्रष्टुं त्वदन्येन कुरु प्रवीर। मा देव्यता मा च विमूढभावः मा देव्यता मा च विमूढभावः दृष्ट्वा रूपं गोरनिधृन्ममेधं दृष्ट्वा रूपं गोरनिधृन्ममेधं व्यपेदभीपि प्रीतमना पुनस्त्वं व्यपेदभि प्रीतमना पुनस्त्वं तदेव मे रूपमिदं प्रपश्य तदेव मे रूपमिदं प्रपश्य। मा देव्यता मा च विमूढभावः दृष्ट्वा रूपं गोरनिधृन्ममेधं व्यपेदभि प्रीतमना पुनस्त्वं तदेव मे रूपमिदं प्रपश्य। सञ्जय उवाच सञ्जय उवाच इत्यर्जुनं वासु इत्यर्जुनं वासुदेवस्ततोक्त्वा इत्यर्जुनं वासुदेवस्ततोक्त्वा स्वकं रूपं दर्शयामास भूयः स्वकं रूपं दर्शयामास भूयः आश्वासयामास च भीतमेनं आश्वासयामास च भीतमेनं भूत्वा पुनः सौम्यव पुर्महात्मा भूत्वा पुनः सौम्यव पुर्महात्मा संजय उवाच इत्यर्जुनं वासुदेवस्तथोक्त्वा स्वकं रूपं दर्शयामास भूयः आश्वासयामास च भीतमीनं भूत्वा पुनः सौम्यव पुर्महात्मा
This chapter, Vishwarupa Darshana Yoga, Arjuna requested Lord Krishna, if you think I am eligible to see the cosmic form of yours, kindly show that. Then using the yogic power, Sri Krishna showed the cosmic form. And when he showed the cosmic form, initially all the Aishwarya Rupa he was seeing, all glorious forms. And slowly, slowly, the infinite includes both negative and positive, right? So initially he saw all the positive things. Then slowly, slowly he started showing the Ugra Rupa, the terrible forms. He started seeing all that and he couldn't take it. And now Arjuna is telling, 45 he said, having seen what was not seen before, I am delighted. Yet my mind is distressed with fear. Show me, O God, that form only, have mercy, O God of Gods, O abode of the universe. Now slowly Arjuna is requesting Sri Krishna to get back to that original form. Thank you very much for showing me this. I am not able to take it anymore. See, always we make it a point to mention this, that you should deserve anything through your own efforts. Now this is not something that Arjuna got it through his efforts. It was through his bhakti. Sri Krishna showed him this form. So it's not something which is within his capacity. It's not come through his original tapasya. Not something that he is seeing it from within through his own tapasya. Sri Krishna is showing it. So it's a borrowed vision that he sees. So he cannot take it anymore. You can only draw the knowledge to the extent you have done tapas, isn't it? To the extent you have done reflection, to that extent only you can imbibe. Guru Ramachandra gives, you cannot imbibe beyond your level of reflection. That is why we keep on saying, it is not how much you contact that matters. How much you are able to digest that matters. So Arjuna here, through his capacity, cannot take this. So he is telling Sri Krishna, please hold back. So in 45 this is what he said, having seen what was not seen before, I am delighted. Yet my mind is distressed with fear. Why fear?
Because of the negative form.
See, the root of fear is ego. And the root of ego is ignorance. As long as you out of ignorance assume an individuality, to that extent there will be fear. In any area where your individuality is diluted, for example, when you travel abroad, you are not having feeling of oneness. A feeling of separateness is there. We are different countrymen, I am different. You and me. So there is that general fear that you are in a land where there is no oneness feeling. The moment you catch your flight and come back to your country, or even in that country when you start seeing people who belong to your country, your nation, when that sense of oneness comes, you are more comfortable. So fear comes to the extent you have that sense of individuality, separateness, feeling of separateness. The more and more you gain the knowledge and digest it, the sense of separateness dissolves. Sense of oneness increases. As a result of that, there won't be fear. So when he says fear is there, it means that his ego is still there. To a great extent, his bhakti is also there. So he is appealing to Sri Krishna, thank you very much, please take it back. So he says, though I am delighted, having seen all this, I would request you to kindly take it back. Show me, O God, that form only. Have mercy, O God of gods, O abode of universe. Verse 46.
Kiritinam gatinam chakrahastam, kiritinam gatinam chakrahastam, icchamitvandrashtumaham tataiva, tenaiva rupena chaturbhujena, sahasrabaho bhava vishvamurte, kiritinam gatinam chakrahastam, icchamitvandrashtumaham tataiva, tenaiva rupena chaturbhujena, sahasrabaho bhava vishvamurte.
I wish to see you as before. As before means before this cosmic form was shown to me. Crown bearing means the discus in hand in the same puram form, O Tatuna, O universal form. So he is requesting Lord Krishna here to get back from this infinite form to that finite form.
See, this is true at any level, even at your physical level or material level, emotional level or intellectual level. You are comfortable when you function at your level. The moment you try to force yourself to push yourself to function at a little higher level, you can't hold it on for long. It's impossible, isn't it? For a while it's okay, but after a while you say, no, I'm not comfortable. You will want to come back to yourself. Out of enthusiasm, you would probably overdo it. Even when you do physical exercise in the beginning, you could probably overdo it. But body will not be able to sustain it there. Therefore, you will come back. You come back. And slowly you want to build the strength. And then you slowly, slowly build the strength. Then you can increase your capacity, because it's from within change. That's exactly what is happening to Arjuna here. So even though out of enthusiasm he requested, out of devotion, can I see that and all that, he quickly realizes, I have to get there. In fact, the very reason why Sri Krishna shows this is, in the beginning, in the spiritual field also, we get excited. We would like to get it immediately. But for everything, you got to pay the price. Everything comes as you start paying the price for it. But in the beginning you want it right then, isn't it? It's exactly the same enthusiasm that Arjuna had. So instead of disappointing him, he showed him the higher vision, and instantly Arjuna realizes, I'm not yet there. So hold it back. Now one thing that will interestingly happen in the case of Arjuna and people like Arjuna who are devotionists, having tasted the higher, though realizing that I am not there, and comes back to that square one position, now the mind will want to go there on its own now, because it tasted the higher. That the mind has not tasted anything higher, it will only be going towards the lower all the time, isn't it? That's why you got to intelligently, little by little, expose the mind to the higher. When the mind has tasted something sublime, thereafter, it would only want to go to that sublime. Due to its old association, it may go back to the ridiculous. But in contrast to what it has experienced in between, the sublime phase,
He will say, this is ridiculous. I do not want to continue here like this. This is what happens, you know. That is why we say, in the young age, if you can instill the higher values in the children, even if for whatever reason, the mind may go towards the lower aspects of the world as they grow. The sublime samskaras that have been put in them in the beginning will bring them back. Because they compare it and contrast and see that this is just gross. Mind that has experienced the subtle does not want to linger in the gross for long. So that is precisely why Shri Krishna said, okay, I will go along with you and show you that. Because he knows. He is there to guide us. And now Arjuna is requesting, please come back to the Chaturbhuja Vishnu form with maize and discuss and all that. I would like to see that form again so that I can be comfortable. Even in yoga, when you join the yoga course, the yoga teacher will tell you, according to your capacity, don't overdo it. Because our enthusiasm, if you do it, you will not be able to sustain it well. It's the sustained effort that matters, not sporadic. Isn't it? That's why we say, now, we are already in the 11th chapter. Now, if you try to recollect the gist of every chapter, how much you recollect, I don't know, that depends on your effort. If you are continuously putting that effort, then yes, you can. Otherwise, by the time you come to next chapter, the previous chapter is gone. So the advantage you have in texts like Bhagavad Gita is, Arjuna in some form or the other asks the same question in different ways. And that way, he kind of gets an opportunity to go back to the basics again and again. But it is very important that you go back and put in your effort. Next verse. 47. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Maya Prasannena Tavatunedam, Rupam Parandarshitam Atma Yoga, Tejo Mayam Vishwam Ananta Madhyam, Yanme Tvadanyena Drishtapurvam, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Maya Prasannena Tavatunedam, Rupam Parandarshitam Atma Yoga, Tejo Mayam Vishwam Ananta Madhyam, Yanme Tvadanyena Drishtapurvam. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Blessed Lord said, Maya Prasannena Tavatunedam, by my grace, O Arjuna, this form of mine has been shown to you by my own yoga. In the beginning itself, I pointed out to you, when a person develops spiritually, one significant change that happens is he or she begins to genuinely feel that it is due to the grace of the higher that they are getting all this, not by their personal efforts alone. When the ego is high, you think everything is happening because of you. Right? As you grow spiritually, direct attitudinal change that comes within is, everything is happening due to the grace of the Lord. No one is indispensable, including oneself. Time and again,
you will be given a lot of examples in your own life by the totality. Therefore, as you start functioning spiritually, that knowledge backing you, you would set the system that you are involved in also in such a motion where no one individual is indispensable. This is the secret of excellence. Any organization should be set in such a way that no individual is indispensable. The moment an individual becomes extremely crucial, without whom nothing happens, then there is something wrong. You understand? Everything has to function like that. You have to set it and then understand. You have to play your role, no doubt. But you have to understand that he is doing it.
You were talking about this 1 hour ago and saying, oh, he's not the chief.
You know, recently during this lecture series also, of course, there's a team that we have, all of us function. But I play a main role in organizing this event, right? Suddenly, as you could see, you know, when Smriti came from Mumbai, she came with fever. She came with high fever, cold, viral, everything she came with. And she wasn't sure whether she is going to conduct this lecture. They came on the 1st, so her lecture was starting on the 4th. So she had about 3-4 days to recover. And with heavy dose of antibiotics and all that, little bit she recovered. But we were already planning that in case she cannot come, then Sushila ji would come also, she would probably lecture. And she was telling me, you also be ready, she's telling me, because you never know, something may go wrong with me also, so you be ready. In case I can't do, probably you have to go and do. This was the whole discussion going on. And then slowly Swamiji was getting better. And third Swamiji lectured, fourth Swamiji lectured. And fourth evening, the first day of Swamiji's Gita lecture, just about 45 minutes before the lecture could start, lecture starts around 6:45, right? So around 6 o'clock, I started feeling weak, slowly. Suddenly I'm getting this joint pain and all that, I was feeling. I was telling them, they said, you be careful now, viral and chikungunya and all that is there, so you better take one tablet. They gave me one tablet there on Prozin. So I took that, but still the pain was increasing as the lecture was going. Then after the lecture, I immediately left the hall. I thought there is something, and the fever had come by then, you know, all that was happening slowly. But the team is there, so slowly, whatever little thing that I was handling, through this, thanks to all this technology, you know, WhatsApp, all that, it becomes a little easier. Just you, you know, coordinate and then you hand over. The lectures went on, they completed the lectures and they went on. I didn't attend the last 3 days. You understand? What I am trying to tell you is, situation will come where it will be shown that no one is responsible. So in the beginning, how did Arjuna start? He said, Mad anugrahaya paramam guhya matyatma sanghitam. Everything is happening by your grace. By your grace, I have got. By your grace, this is what. As the person is hit with knowledge of the higher, the head bows down in devotion. If the devotion is missing, even whatever work you are doing, maybe something great, working for a larger cause, yet when the devotion is missing, it ceases to be spiritual. I am doing that attitude vis-a-vis thy will be done, not my will be done.
So here Sri Krishna is saying, by the grace of the totality, O Arjuna, this form that you just recently saw, the cosmic form, has been shown to you. How? By the divine yoga, the capacity that the Lord has. Through that, I showed you this form, which is supreme, resplendent. It's all light that he saw everywhere. Primaveral, infinite, universal form of mind. Now, universal form means what?
Something that anybody can see.
What does universal form mean?
Common knowledge. Common knowledge.
Can the form be infinite and universal? Form has a beginning and an end. So when he says infinite universal form, what it means is endlessly, the beginning or end, nothing is seen. It's going on, that vision. Actually it is beyond perception. So he's saying that what you experienced just now, which is beyond your eyes,
comprehension,
which has not been seen before by anyone else than you. See, it's a subjective experience, that's what he's trying to say, not something that is objective. Anyone else other than you means what? It is happening subjectively, nothing is happening objectively. It is a form outside, which can be seen by your eyes. That's why he said, I will give you special eyes. What does a special eye mean? It's an intuitive vision that he is talking about. It's not something that is being seen outwardly. It is something that is seen within, which comes through devotion. This you have seen out of your devotion. It's not seen externally. That's all he is saying. God is not an object of comprehension. It's a subjective experience. See, I've given this example before.
Because there is really no God.
What do you mean by that?
God comes within.
No, when you say there is no God, really, what do you mean by that?
Meaning there is no form no one has ever seen. So it is what one, what each one thinks. Or believes in. Who believes in Allah, sees Allah as God, as a messenger, not even a God. Who sees Christ as God, sees the form of Christ. We see maybe Krishna, maybe Ram, maybe whatever. For us that becomes God. But that's more like an anchor. There is really nobody. It's your own.
No, it's not
from within. It's an atma, right? It's belief in your own self.
Amiji, when you say there is no God, Vedanta says there is no God as a person.
Yeah.
You understand?
True.
If you mean by that, that's okay. But if you say there is no such thing as God itself, then you are going something totally different from what Vedanta or any master has declared. There is only God. There is nothing else other than God. But there is no such thing as God in a form, is what we are trying to say. Anything and everything that you are experiencing.
So can you say the supernatural power?
Pardon?
The supernatural power, then what is God? If there is no form.
Actually what you said was right, everything is God. Everything.
What if God has no form, then what is God?
How do we
Even
if you're saying it's Atma, it's an energy.
God is not something that can be comprehended, perceived, described or defined. We have time and again given this example of a baker and dreamer.
So we can say it's a power, right?
You say whatever you want, doesn't matter.
No, Vedanta says.
Exactly.
He said Vedanta says there is no form to God. Have I understood that right?
Yes. Let me complete. So when you say the dreamer and baker example, if you understand it correctly, it is one baker mind that has become the many in the dream world, isn't it? Ami has gone to sleep. and in the sleep she is dreaming. In the dream, she is experiencing the flora, the fauna, so many varieties of beings, friends, relatives, enemies, etc., etc. All that the dreamer is experiencing, including the dreamer, has come from where?
From the dream, from me.
From the waker's mind. From your mind, from Ami's mind.
In the dreamer's mind.
Not come from the dreamer's mind, come from the waker's mind.
Your mind when you were awake, that your experience.
The impressions during the waking state that require immediate fructification, which comes out as a dream while you are asleep.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to say?
I don't know. A dream is so different from reality. You suddenly get up and say, what is going on in my dream? It's not what you've experienced all the time.
Did I say that it's the same thing? I'm trying to tell you. I don't know whether you...
Maybe I didn't understand the
question. Yeah, so listen. From your waker's mind, the whole dream world has come. And when you wake up, where does it go to? Go back to it. Where does it go back to? Fold it back to
it? It doesn't exist.
Where does that dream world has folded back to?
Back to the dream world.
Back to the waker's mind.
Back to the waker's mind. When Mukta goes to sleep and she is in dream world experiencing, where has all that she is experiencing come from? Her own mind. Right?
It's
created
by, like that.
Don't use such words. Just try to understand the concept first. From where has your dream come from?
From your mind.
From your own mind. Right? And when you wake up, where has it gone back to?
Back to your mind.
Back to your mind. So all that Vedanta is saying is, as a dreamer, when you say, there is no such thing as waker at all, dreamer cannot understand that. Anything regarding waker, the waker may be married and having children, and maybe dreaming that he is suffering from poverty, penury, not married, nobody is ready to marry him, etc., etc. Right? His experiences in the waking state are completely different from the experiences in the dream state. Yet, that entire dream has come from his own mind. If you go on telling in the dream that you are already married, you have two children, etc., etc., he will say, please, I don't understand anything, don't tell me all this, don't play tricks with me, you understand? But the truth is, he is a married man with two children, of which he is complaining that he is not married, etc., etc. So the experiences of the dreamer is limited. He cannot understand the waker. But one thing can happen to him, what is that? He can wake up and become the waker. Dreamer can never understand the waker, but dreamer can become the waker. Is this clear? This much?
Yeah.
Because when we are dreaming, we are very entrenched in that world.
So, as a dreamer, the dream personality can never understand the waking personality. But when the dreamer wakes up, whatever might have made the person wake up, the moment he wakes up, he has now become the waker, married man with two children. Therefore, we tell the dreamer, you cannot understand the waker, you can only become the waker. We tell the dreamer that you cannot understand the waker, you only become the waker. Similarly, the same example, now you see it here. It is that one God or consciousness that has become this many variety beings, including you, me, all of us. So myself being this
finite individual now, now that my identity is here, limited as a way, not with the total. I cannot understand that. But by dropping the individuality, I can become that total. Excuse me. So that total is being addressed as God,
or various words, Brahman, etc., etc.
So we say, to attribute a form to a God is wrong. That is limiting. God at the beginning and the end and all that. Excuse me. So in that sense, we say there is no such thing as God in a form. But when you say there is no such thing as God, it is amounting to say there is no such thing as Vekarabhu. That is not true. So, Vedanta says, therefore, what is there is nothing but God only. But due to your ignorance, you are seeing various beings. What is there is only Vekar mind. But due to the ignorance, you are now seeing variety of beings. But this entire variety of beings has come from that one Vekar's mind. Now, as a dreamer, you will never understand. But when you drop the identification with the dreamer and become the Vekar, instantly you understand. This is Vedantic standpoint. It refers to God and the world. In the beginning, you are told that God created this world. Then, slowly as your intellect develops and start questioning, you understand that there is challenge here. If God created this world, where was he when he created this? Then who created that world? Read me. Out of what did he create himself? So you next say, no, God did not create. The world emerged out of God. Like how the vegetation has emerged out of earth. Are you with me? The vegetation emerged out of earth. When you say that, earth is earth sentient or insentient? Sentient or insentient? Is earth sentient or insentient? Does it have life?
It is life.
Yet does it have life? Yet. From that, the sentient vegetation has come. So that example also has a vegetation. Just to convey the point, they say, God did not create the world. The world emerged out of the divinity, like how vegetation emerged out of earth. But then there is a fallacy in that example. Earth is insentient. Vegetation is sentient. So then it would amount to sentient beings have come from insentient divinity. Therefore they say, no, this is also limited. Then they give another example. What? Like how the spider's web has come from spider's saliva. The spider's web, spider spins it from its own saliva. Now spider is a sentient being. Okay. Now the problem is, spider has a motive to spin the web. Are you with me? So if you say God had a motive, then you are limiting God. Only by creating it he would feel complete, therefore he created it? No. Therefore Vedanta finally says, God neither created the world, nor did it emerge out of him. First they say, God created the world. Then when your intellect develops, you know, you would accept that. You question that also. Then they say, no, God did not create, world emerged out of divinity. Then that also you will start questioning and you start going deeper and deeper. Then Vedanta completely declares to you, they say, no world emerged out of God. It was your pigment of imagination. What is there is only divinity. He who sees it, sees it. The moment you see it, thereafter there is no more world for you. The world remains to you as long as you have not seen the divinity. The moment you have seen the divinity, thereafter there is no more world. It's like you see various parts, right? But you understand that these various parts are nothing but the clay, various shapes and forms. So Vedanta finally declares, there is no world, nothing. What is there is only, what is there is only, what is there is only God, consciousness alone, nothing else. Brahma Satyam Jagat Nitya. What is there is only water. There are no such thing as waves, having a separate entity, etc. What is there is only water and water and water. When you see the waves, you see the various separate waves, etc. Big, small, different colors, etc., etc. The moment you start seeing the water, you understand what is there is only water. So from that standpoint, Vedantic declaration is that there is only God. There is nothing else other than God. If you are seeing anything else other than God, that is the projection of your own mind.
But in all your examples, like where did the initially, where did the earth come from, or where did the spider come from, or where did the God come from?
God never came.
Yeah, there's no beginning. There is no starting point. There is no starting, because where will it get created from? It's not got created. It's just there. But where is that there from? In God.
Bible starts by saying, no, that in the beginning God created man in his own, from his own rib.
But where did God come from?
God cutting the Bible.
God was
in the Bible only does that starts by saying that is man from
where is that initial energy or that initial it's only consciousness, it's just there.
It's only consciousness.
I know it's only there, but
trying to see God in a form.
See, please understand this.
It didn't start, it's just there.
1 minute. When you send your consciousness, the consciousness flows continuously, suddenly an individuality emerges. The time the individuality emerges, automatically the plurality is present. So what Vedanta is trying to say is this, that you question that very individuality, there lies your answer. What is there is only consciousness. Now suddenly you fell, that is why if you go strictly deep into Vedanta, when did this world begin for you? Vedanta says, when you woke up this morning. The moment Shweta comes, instantly Shivani, Ami, everybody comes.
Oh, no, I don't understand.
When you were asleep, deep sleep, I mean, was there a word for you?
No.
You did not experience it.
We had our own word in the dream.
I just now pointed out deep sleep. When you are in deep sleep, are you experiencing any world?
No.
We don't know what we're experiencing.
Too complicated. You don't experience, you experience nothing. Okay, no thoughts, no words. Okay, the moment you wake up and the thought comes, what thought? The first thing is I'm Shweta. Shweta comes instantly.
My word.
Have you ever seen from your subjective experience? Forget about the objective things that we are talking about. When I am sleeping, everybody, this is what you are thinking. But every time you experience the world, you are also existing independently. So what Vedanta says is, Shweta and Shweta's world come together. Are you with me? The consciousness gets conditioned and Shweta is born. The moment conditioned consciousness, Shweta is born. Instantly,
Shweta's world is created.
The whole world is created.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, if you really want to understand the divinity and all that, you cannot retain the Shweta's identity and then understand. The very Shweta's identity which is fake, when that dissolves, instantly all the other, everything dissolves. What there remains is only consciousness. So that is why they say, you have to dissolve your vasanas. That is created this individuality. The moment that vasana is destroyed, you become total. Till then, you cannot. So you come and you project the world. As long as your mind is there, world is there. No mind, no world. Good mind, good world. Bad mind, bad world. No mind, no world.
That you can see in our lives even now. Today your mind, when there's a particular phase, if you're in a positive phase, I mean, you take key things first. Your world, you create your world according to that, in the sense that you actually see the positive in things that day. And if you're in a negative state of mind, you see more negative stuff. So it's actually you even create your physical world in your mind. If you feel that certain things are not, certain negative things don't affect you, they're actually not negative in your mind anymore. So if your world actually is created by your mind.
That is exactly what Vedanta says. So what is there is only divinity or consciousness or whatever you want to call it.
Mm.
Some people call it God, some people call it pure consciousness, Brahman, whatever you want to call it.
Mm.
That alone is. That is reality. But the moment you create yourself, this individuality.
What you get, Atma. Whether you say consciousness, Atma, whatever, it's all the same.
Doesn't matter what words you use.
But Atma is also consciousness.
Atma is
consciousness, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. The difference between individual when we use the word, we use the word Atma.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is the total when we use that word, we use the word Brahman.
Mm-hmm.
Atman and Brahman is one and the same. Okay. That pure consciousness conditioned by the body, mind, intellect is Shweta. This conditioned consciousness called the Shweta has a world that she experiences. Shweta can never understand God, but by her spiritual efforts, when she dissolves her vasanas, the individuality dissolves, then she has become one with totality. So Vedantic declaration is, there is nothing else but divinity. You are seeing something other than divinity because of your own mind. That's all. So Vedanta does not say there is no God. All that Vedanta says is, there is no such thing as God in a form or a personality living up the clouds, trying to come and save you, etc. That's all Vedanta is doing.
So I understand the concept of good mind, good world, and bad mind, bad world. Like what I was saying, that how you react to things creates the world around you. Your own positive, it's not like anybody else changes, your own reaction changes. But if you are, in this form, how do you function on a daily basis with no mind, no world? Because you are in the world.
We are not asking you to function on a daily basis with that. Understand the concept.
To
conceptually I understand that, you know, when you move to a higher consciousness, when you go towards collective consciousness, you move away from this
individual mind.
Yeah, from this, I don't even know what it is, environment or whatever, the dreamer's world that we are in, towards wakefulness. But if we are here, if we are alive and we are part of society or a family or whatever, you can't have a no world.
We are not saying that. You take, first of all, understand in what context it is being said. You got to understand there is no world when there is no mind. That's all.
Yeah.
When the mind is dissolved, when you become no mind, there is no more world. But today you are not at that level. Today you are at the level where you have a mind. You are Shivani. There is a world. Now Vedanta doesn't say, imagine there is no world and they just function like that. It doesn't say that. Then you are misunderstanding Vedanta. All the Vedanta says is, at this moment now, you have a mind. Are you with me? The consciousness conditioned by your mind now is called as Shivani. This individual has world. Face it. It's not saying close your eyes and run away. If you misunderstand Vedanta, you would do all this.
Is Vedanta same as Bhagavad Gita?
Absolutely. Vedanta means what? The end of knowledge. The ultimate highest knowledge.
So Vedanta is like a found by whom?
Nobody.
So why would one keep saying that Vedanta says? Why do we not say Bhagavad Gita or Hinduism? How is Vedanta different from all the
others? I'll come to that question. So Shivani, first understand this. Do you understand this? So today you have a mind, you have a world. You got to objectively face it. What has to be done? If a tiger chases you, leave me the tiger. Don't say there is no tiger there. That is not what Vedanta is saying, you understand? Then you will be in trouble, you misunderstand. So this is what we are kind of asking. How can I say there is no world for me? We are not saying that. But understand, other than the mind, there is no world. The mind is gone. For example, in your deep sleep. It's all I told you. Now coming back to your question now.
Also in meditation, when in meditation, when the world goes, there is no world.
But that's not your daily experience. So we don't give that as an example. If you can understand that every day when you go to sleep in deep sleep, that is something which is everybody's experience. Meditation mein jaake, one who goes to that higher level and dissolves and all that is far and few who has experienced from that. So we don't give that as a daily example, that's all. It will still remain a theory to you. Whereas deep sleep is something that you go through every night. And therefore you see in deep sleep, when you are in deep sleep, as far as you are concerned for those 2 hours, whatever that may be, you did not experience the world. Therefore we give an example. Now come back to your question now. Vedanta means...
So means that deep sleep then you are comparing to death, where there is no consciousness which is also alive, which you are aware of. Whereas in the meditative state you are aware and with awareness you are away from the world and into reality.
No.
Is that correct?
I'm trying to answer your question, but you are going on with this, no problem. Please understand.
Please understand
you made a statement. In deep sleep there is no consciousness, in death there is no consciousness. It's a wrong statement.
I didn't say that. I said it's like there when you are not aware of your consciousness.
So what does that mean?
I think I'm being misunderstood a little bit.
So okay, no problem.
Yeah.
Now you understand here, when you say there's no, I'm not aware, what does it mean? Why you are not aware is because mind is not there, not that the consciousness is not there. Please cooperate. Mind is not there, not that the consciousness is not there. Excuse me. In deep sleep, the mind is gone to unmanifest state. Consciousness is there. It's like light is there, but the reflecting medium is not there. As a result of that, the reflected light is not seen. So in deep sleep, in the head, there is no consciousness. Actually, what we are meaning, if you mean that, I'm fine with that. As long as you've understood that correctly.
What you actually should mean is that the consciousness is there, but by reflecting medium the mind has gone to unmanifestation, therefore there doesn't seem to be any awareness exhibited. Are you with me? This is all we are seeing as the deep sleep system. Now come back here to ask a question, what is Vedanta? I am trying to explain that. Vedanta is nothing but the ultimate knowledge of the self. All those who reach the self and the self spoke to any being, that is called as Vedanta. Okay. That same Vedantic knowledge expressed through Sri Krishna to Arjuna in the conversation format is called Bhagavad Gita. Therefore Bhagavad Gita is also Vedanta. Okay. The same source whosoever reached and declaring through that body to whosoever at any given point in time, all that would be called as Vedanta. It's nothing but coming from the unconditioned self within at different points. The same knowledge has come in Bhagavad Gita, in Bible, in Quran, everywhere. That's all. Believe me. So from that angle everything is Vedanta only. So when we say all these masters, wherever they declare, all that they declare is this, there is only consciousness, nothing else other than consciousness. You, due to your limitation and ignorance, now seeing a limited world. Through your efforts and gaining knowledge, when the limitation that you see within is removed, then the limited world is also gone. That's all there is. It's like trying to see the world through the window. World is infinite, but the world that you will see through the window will be limited. That is due to the limitation of the frame of the window. The frame of your eyes. So when all these frames are broken, then what remains is only infinite. That's all they are trying to say. So they don't bring in God in a form. But they don't say that there is no God. When you say that there is no God, then it amounts to atheism. So what do we talk about in our services? Not that there is no God. There is nothing else other than God. This is all for this so much was discussed. So Vedanta doesn't say there is no God. There is no God in a particular form. That's all we say.
So God is pure consciousness. Is
yes.
That correct?
Yes.
Is that what Vedanta says?
Yes. Brahman is in the form of pure consciousness. Prajnana Brahma is a declaration. That consciousness is Brahman. Right? And then, that consciousness, the what? Tattvamasi. Prajnana Brahman is a statement of declaration. Consciousness is Brahman. And that consciousness, the what? The statement given next. That consciousness, the what? Tattvamasi. Then next, having taken that statement from the Guru, where he says that you are that consciousness, not this body, mind, intellect. You are supposed to come back and practice. What is that statement? I am Atma Brahma. This Atma is Brahman. Today, what are you thinking? This Atma is Shivani. This Atma is Shweta. So you are supposed to constantly question and reflect and ponder and establish this, that I am not this body, mind, intellect, but I am Atma. Then slowly the limitation dissolves, then what remains is infinite Brahman. Then when you realize the self, what do you declare? Aham Brahmasmi. I am Brahman. So all that in the subject Vedanta we discuss is you are not limited, but out of ignorance you believe yourself to be limited. You are not limited by anyone outside. It is out of ignorance you have limited yourself. So by gaining knowledge you can only remove that sense of limitation. When the sense of limitation is removed, what remains is an infinite, limitless, supreme consciousness. Therefore, nobody outside of you can help you to remove that sense of limitation. If I hypnotized you, I have to dehypnotize. But if you have hypnotized yourself, you got to dehypnotize. So that is why Vedanta says, ask yourself this question, when did you become this limited individual? When did you become that way? How did your consciousness get stuck to that limitation and you call yourself this way? Like constantly everybody is calling you. So you put on many masks, you this way, you that way. You are consciousness started identifying with the body, 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 and then now you are believing yourself to be Shivani. So what is actually happened is consciousness has got stuck in certain areas. Now as it starts getting stuck in certain areas, a fake idea about yourself starts becoming alive. And by reiterating it, that fake identity starts becoming real. The real identity, which is infinite, is lost. Now to question that fake identity and say that it is fake, we are finding very difficult. And to assert a real identity, we are scared. We are thinking, oh, people will think we are mad. So this is it. When did you start allowing your consciousness to get stuck in this body of mind? To this, to that, whatever, then the idea starts forming. That idea is the fake thing, that's all that is. Question that. To question that and remove that fake identity, then what remains is limitless self. This is the highest philosophy that Vedanta talks about. So here, in this verse 47, Arjuna is telling Sri Krishna, before Arjuna requested Sri Krishna to come back to the normal form. Here Sri Krishna says, by my grace, O Arjuna, this form of mine has been shown to you by my own yoga. Supreme, resplendent, primeval, infinite, universal form of mine, which has not been seen before by anyone else other than you. Other than you meaning subjective, not objective. That's where we started. This is a subjective experience, not an objective comprehension. And even when you think subjectively, you are conceiving divinity. That is also not divinity. Because everything that you conceive is also finite. God is beyond even conception. That he will declare slowly, slowly. We'll meet next week. पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमाधाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते. ओम शांति शांति शांति.
वाचा कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावात् करोमि अध्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि।